Welcome to the ABCs of the Bible, a radio ministry dedicated to bringing you the Word of God. God promises that when His Word goes forth, it won't come back void, but will accomplish that which He pleases.
Greetings, friends, and welcome to our discussion on the book of Job, which is entitled, Is God Guilty as Charged? Satan brought charges against God, which is basically this: God, you're worthless, you know it, and the only reason why people worship you is because you continue to bless them. As soon as you take away the blessings, they're going to curse you to your face. And God says, well, that's not true. To prove it, I'll let you put me on trial. Job is going to be my witness. So if we turn over to Job chapter 2, and we'll read verse 5, 6, and 7, we're going to see how this unfolds. This is Job chapter 2, verses 5, 6, and 7. And this is round 2 of the trial. We've already passed by round 1. So now round 2 of the trial, where Satan is submitting his second round of evidence, he says in Job chapter 2, verse 5, God, if you dare put forth your hand now and touch Job's bone and his flesh, he will curse you to your face. Then in verse 6, Yahweh said to Satan, Behold, he is in your hand, only spare his life. Do what you want to his physical health. You've already taken away his wealth, take away his health, but just don't kill him. In verse 7, Satan went forth from the presence of Yahweh, I'm sure with great excitement and glee, and he struck Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot to the top of his head. Now, I don't know if you've ever had a boil before. I haven't, but I've heard people explain it. And I'm going to read a definition from Matthew Henry's commentary on the Bible about a boil. I do know that a boil is a burning ulceration of the flesh that itches like crazy. But Matthew Henry's commentary on the Bible states, one boil, when it is gathering, is torment enough, and gives a man abundance of pain and uneasiness. What a condition was Job then in, that had boils all over him, and those boils were raging with heat as hot as the devil could make them. Job must have felt like he was set on fire from hell. So that was reading from Matthew Henry's commentary on the Bible about a boil. And in short, what he's saying is that Job's boils were so boiling hot that he must have come as close to anyone as experiencing the torment of hell fire. And this Job suffered for many, many days without any sign of relief. And remember, his bodily suffering came on top of his emotional suffering from the loss of all 7 of his children and the loss of all of his vast wealth. Now, we need to keep something in mind here, too, because I really despise the health and wealth, name it and claim it, word of faith movement, because really it's not health and wealth, name it and claim it. It's really blab it and grab it. People are just trying to use God as some cosmic bellboy or some great big fat genie that they can rub on the belly and get 3 wishes from them. God doesn't promise us health and wealth all of the time. Good things happen to good people, but bad things happen to good people. And Job was a good man, as God had previously stated when he said that Satan had moved God against Job without cause. There was no cause for God to allow Satan to smite Job as though Job had committed some great big sin. There was no sin that triggered this from God. God wasn't punishing Job for some sin that he had. So Job was a good man. But think about this. These health and wealth teachers teach you that, oh, well, you're God's children, you're blessed and highly favored, just have faith, just name it and claim it, just speak blessings into your life, and God is going to bless you abundantly. Well, I'm sorry, the book of Job just blows that out of the water. That is a false gospel, and God says that when somebody is preaching a false gospel, let them be accursed. Now, getting back to the story of Job specifically, how did Job react toward God? Did Job curse God to his face? Many people in this health and wealth, I said I was going to get back to it, but I just can't help it. I despise this gospel because it leads so many people astray that when they don't receive the blessings, when something bad happens to them, then they start to turn away from God. They start to doubt if God loves them. God loves us in the good and bad times. Sometimes he allows bad things to come upon us, but that doesn't mean that he's punishing us. It doesn't mean that he's mad at us, that he hates us. It doesn't necessarily mean that we've done something bad. God allows suffering for other reasons, and as we go further into this book of Job, we're going to discover this, but I promise to get back here. How did Job react toward God? Did Job curse God to his face? Well, we find the answer in Job chapter 2 and verses 8 through 10. Job took a piece of broken pottery to scrape himself with, and he sat down among the ashes. Eventually, his wife said to him, "Do you still hold on to your integrity? Curse God and die." But Job said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish people speaks. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God and then not receive evil?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Basically, Job's testimony in round 2 is the same as his testimony in round 1. In round 1, Job said, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In round 2, he said, "Shall we receive good at the hand of God and then not receive evil?" And guess what? That was round 1. That was round 2. There is no round 3. For the rest of the book of Job, we do not hear one peep from Satan. Not a word again from Satan. Satan gave it his best shot, but couldn't shoot down God because Job stood up for God as a faithful witness. Job's testimony is that God is worthy of our unconditional love. Satan was arguing that we will only worship God based on conditions, the conditions that God continues to bless us. And as soon as that condition changes and the blessings stop and evil comes upon us, then we're going to turn away from God. We're going to curse God and die. Well, Job's wife was like that. She obviously believed in this health and wealth, name it and claim it gospel. She obviously was like Satan, who believed that God is not inherently good, and so therefore he has to continue to bless people in order for them to worship him. Job's testimony, though, that God is worthy of our unconditional love, should bring to mind another testimony by another one of God's great witnesses. Hear what the Apostle Paul says to the church. In Romans chapter 8 and verses 35 through 39, he says, "Who or what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword?" All of these things are things that the health and wealth preachers, these false apostles, never tell you about. They like to gloss over this fact and tell you that, "Oh, everything's going to be so good. Oh, God's going to bless you today. Oh, your ship's going to come in. Just name it and claim it. Just speak blessings into your life. Turn to your neighbor and say, 'I'm blessed and highly favored.'" They like to gloss over this part. Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Shall these things that shall surely befall Christians, shall they separate us from the love of Christ? As it is written, "For your sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for slaughter. But in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities," none of this junk that Satan is spewing forth, none of that stuff, "no powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." In the mouth of two or three witnesses, a matter is established. Both Job and Paul, because of their allegiance to God, suffered greatly, perhaps more than any other human beings, save Jesus, the Christ. Yet despite their great tribulations and trials, both of them testified that God is worthy of our unconditional love. So what's your judgment? And when I ask this, I'm asking you to think of this in your personal life. Examine the evidence in your own life. Satan believes that people will only worship God because of what they can get from God, and that as soon as the blessing faucet is turned off, will be turned off by the very thought of God. Obviously, there are people that do relate to God this way. Again, as we saw, Job's wife said, "Do you still hold on to your integrity? Curse God and die." In other words, she was reasoning, "Job, why are you kneeling down in praise and adoration of God when God is treating you this way? You fool! God is not worthy of your worship. It's not right what he's doing to you, Job. You should curse that sorry blankety blank blank and just go to your grave in peace." Is that the way you live your life, like Job's wife? Do you wonder if it's even worth it to serve God in light of all of your sufferings? Worse yet, do you curse God when things don't work out the way you want? Are you like Job's wife, or are you like Job? Job worshiped God in the good and the bad times. Despite Job's horrendous suffering over a prolonged period of time, Job never cursed God. But Job did eventually have a problem with God, and God subsequently had a problem with Job. What problem did Job have with God? Why did Job end up putting God on trial? What were the accusations Job brought against God? And is God guilty as charged? We'll discuss those questions in our next program. Thanks for joining me on this program, and may God be in you.
If you would like to contact us or order free literature, please visit our website at www.christianambassadors.org. That's www.christianambassadors.org, or call us on 404-412-0032. That's 404-412-0032. Thanks for listening. May God be in you.
666, the mark of the beast. What is the mark of the beast? Before you can know for sure what is the mark of the beast, you must know for sure the identity of the beast. I will reveal to you from the pages of the Bible the identity of the beast during two free seminars entitled, What is the Mark of the Beast? The first one will be held on Thursday, January 18th from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Wesley Chapel Library, which is located at 2861 Wesley Chapel Road in Decatur, Georgia. The second seminar will be held on Thursday, February 1st from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Covington Library, which is located at 3500 Covington Highway in Decatur, Georgia. For more information, call 404-412-0032 or log on to our website at www.christianambassadors.org. Please don't miss this extremely important seminar, or you might miss the opportunity to escape the wrath of God that comes upon those who receive the mark of the beast. This message is sponsored by the ABCs of the Bible radio program.